We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 26 is where we're going to be today. The one of the verses that we're going to read is concerning Mary of Bethany, that she anoints the Lord Jesus with this precious perfumes. And as we read it, you think about it, because the disciples criticize her for wasting this precious. We could have sold it and given the money to the poor. But did you look at what this fourth verse says? Were the whole realm of nature mine, if I possessed everything, that were a present far too small that we can give to our Lord Jesus. And so, Matthew chapter 26, we're going to begin reading with the first verse of this chapter. We're going to read down through verse 25, and that's the reason I went ahead and had you to be seated, so that you can really watch the words and listen carefully. Matthew chapter 26, beginning to read with verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Know ye that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much, and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 20 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go unto the city of such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at this house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as he did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he answered unto him, Thou hast said. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We just ask that you'll take these words and just touch every one of our hearts with them. Penetrate our hearts, open our ears and our eyes and our mind to your precious word today. Father, if there's one here that does not know you as their Savior, they have rejected your precious word, or maybe this is the first time that that your Spirit has convicted their heart with these words, I ask today that they will say yes to you, trust in you, knowing that as your Son was crucified on the cross and died on that cross and then rose again, that it was all done for me and for all the world that they could be saved. And we just need to come by faith. And we thank you, Father, that you send your Holy Spirit, that he comes and convicts our heart, that we can experience and recognize who we are and how filthy we are and how much we need you as our Savior. And please, that all will have invited you into their hearts. Now please, take your word and grow us with your word each and every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have done for many years, we kind of start today, and then we'll continue tonight and continue Wednesday night. And so please, if you're not used to coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night, please this week, tonight and Wednesday night, make a special effort to come and enjoy this special fellowship as we walk down the path that our Lord and Savior did to the cross. And then come Sunday morning, why we'll enjoy his resurrection. The tomb was opened, and he was not found in that tomb. He was alive. And so please that you come. And we have changed for a period of time the ladies' Bible studies on Thursday. And so don't miss that opportunity as well this week. One said in studying that the last great discourse of the King of Kings having ended, there remains nothing else to record save the story of his passion, his suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we have three chapters that are left to give us this wonderful story here in the Gospel of Matthew. He has now come to fulfill all the prophecies that have been spoken. The prophecies by Moses, by the prophets, and by the Psalms. In this chapter, we will witness his holiness, his righteousness, and his perfection. We will see the Lord as he comes upon his arrest and the trial and the crucifixion. We will see his patience and his calmness as he sets out to finish this great work of salvation that his Father has sent him to do. And please, what a wonderful and great day that was. There's also another side. There's seeing the righteousness and the perfection and our great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior, as he went to the cross and saved us. But we also, in this same chapter, are going to witness one of the most wicked times on this earth, as the devil and all of his helpers brought all the ungodliness and fury that they could bring together upon the Holy One, the Lord Jesus. So as this is taking place in this chapter, let's follow these verses of Scripture. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. After 2 days is the feast of the Passover. We're going to go back into Exodus because I want you to see the first Passover. And as we have sung that hymn this morning, 357, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We're going to go back into Exodus to see what this first Passover was, and then the Passover that they continued to celebrate year after year. And our Lord has set the time, 2 days is the feast of the Passover. And so let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And you're going to be in Exodus several scriptures here, so as you would kind of go back and forth, don't leave Matthew 26, and as well do not leave Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 is exactly what our Lord is speaking to us about here in the 14th verse. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And so this act, this Passover, the first Passover, was something that was not given. Many people, not knowing the Word of God, would think that it was given with the rest of the feasts at Mount Sinai, as Moses received the plans of the tabernacle and the Ten Commandments and all the law and the feasts. All that was given to Moses at Mount Sinai, but not the Passover. The Passover was given to them prior to leaving Egypt. And so as we look now, let's see the name of the Passover, how it was named. We'll look at the 12th and 13th verse here. And so again, back in Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Don't miss that as we're coming up in the study in Sunday school, because we talked about all the plagues that are laid out and God gives. It is against each one of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And he even lists it here in Exodus, because he says, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And so the word Passover is just that. As the death angel would come, and this is the final plague that brought the release of the nation of Israel from the Egyptians, from Pharaoh. And it was the death of the firstborn. And so as we look at the steps of it, and we're going to be speaking of that in just a minute, just understand that this was the first Passover, and the death angel passed over when he saw the blood. Well, my dear friend, the death angel will pass over you and me when he sees the blood. We don't have to worry, because we're covered with the precious blood of Jesus. And what a picture this is. Now, let's see what the result was for those that stood against Israel. Exodus 12, 29 and 30. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Not one single household of the Egyptians that death angel didn't stop by and bring death to. Every single household, except for Israel. And only if the Israelites, only if the Jews listened to the word of God and killed the lamb and put the blood up on the lintels, upon the doorposts, only then, when that death angel crossed through, he stopped at every house. And then he would come to Goshen and he would see the blood across those doorposts. And that death angel just passed right on by. Right on by. What a blessed day, but what a horrible day for the nation of Egypt, for the land of Egypt, because as it says here, there wasn't one single house. Now, just think about that as you travel down the road, you go home today, and you look at every house, and you think if that was Egypt, every house that night faced death. Every house, the firstborn. Every house faced death. The Passover was celebrated. It was a 7-day, it was 7 days, the period of 7 days. The first day started on the 14th day of Abib, which is in April, and it finished on the 21st day. So it was lasted 7 days. We also have a feast going on at the same time, and that feast was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the reason for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because during this period of time of the Passover, the house had to be totally vacant, totally cleaned of any leaven, because in the Scripture, leaven stands for sin. And so we have to clean every cupboard, every food, anything that had leaven in it was out of that house, was gone before the Passover started. And it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it went along the same time. And so it also lasted this period of time. Now, back in Exodus chapter 12, I told you not to shut the page, and I did. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away the leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And so when that time was spent, again, you're supposed to, all the sin was to be gone, and it represented this through this leaven to cleanse your house. And also something took place before the 10th day of the month, and that was on the 10th day of the month before the 14th, 4 days ahead. And they were to take a lamb that was a year old, male. They were to take from the flock, and they were to take a lamb that was without blemish, a perfect lamb. And so I hope that you're seeing the wonderful picture of our Messiah, the shedding of blood, the innocent lamb that was slain, and the perfect lamb. And so we find without blemish, and the reason that it was to be pulled from the flock 4 days ahead, because they were to watch that lamb to see that there was no impurities, that lamb was as perfect could be, and before that lamb was put to death. Now please go with me back to Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, Exodus 12:3, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper post, doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat. Late afternoon, early evening, it's believed somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when this lamb was slain, was put to death. At the time that Jesus is speaking here in Matthew, it was brought and the priest put the lamb to death and the blood was poured out at the foot of the altar. At the time of the first Passover, the blood was taken and applied to the doorpost and they roasted the lamb. And if you study that, and we'll enjoy the study when we get that far, that as our Lord and Savior, that not one bone was broken, so with the lamb as he was roasted. And it's said that tradition or history tells us that as the lamb was roasted, it was roasted, and the way that the lamb was held was in the form of a cross as that lamb was roasted. So this was the first Passover that we read back in Exodus, and that was a tradition, not a tradition, that was a feast, a command of the Lord to do every year following. And so I hope that you can see the beautiful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, a lamb, perfect lamb, innocent, God's plan, the shedding of blood, the death of that perfect that innocent sacrifice and that perfect sacrifice. All this was to be done every year until our Lord and Savior came to the cross of Calvary. And so our Lord Jesus, not one bone was broken. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 19, and we're going to read those verses, and then we'll continue. John chapter 19, verse 31. As the lamb, not one bone was broken, so with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. John 19, 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. He that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. As we see the fulfillment of all these wonderful prophecies as they continue to come forward, then we come to the end of that second verse in Matthew chapter 26. The first part is, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. So we've looked at what that Passover is, and it's on the calendar every year for them. And then he makes this statement, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. The Son of Man is to be betrayed to be crucified. This statement is as if it has already taken place. That's the way this statement was made. The disciples had been told this before. This wasn't the first time that they were told of the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. But right here and right now, they are given the time. They are told when this is going to take place. Again, the disciples were aware of the coming event of the crucifixion. We know that even during the crucifixion and the 3 days after, it was after they saw the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, then they remembered these things. But they were told these things. They were told these things. And I think it's important that we understand that they were told these things for the event that took place in Bethany with Mary. And so they were told of this. Now we come to the third verse, and we kind of change positions here. Then assembled together, listen to this group. If you wonder if the world isn't wicked, just listen to this group. These were the religious leaders of the day. These were the folks that were the head of the church of the day. Assembled together, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people. And they brought them together unto the palace of who? The high priest. The high priest. He was the one that was to take the offering into the Holy of Holies. He was the one that was to confess all of his sin and then the death of a bullock. And then he would take that blood in for himself. And then he would come back out and he would slay the two goats. And he would take the blood of the slay one of the goats, and there was two present, and the blood of the one he would take in and sprinkle seven times upon the mercy seat, and then come back and lay those bloody hands upon the live goat and confess the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat was led up into the hills, never to return again. What a beautiful picture of our salvation, and our sins are taken away, never to find their way back. And so, what a beautiful picture. That was the one of the responsibilities of the high priest. And yet he was the one that was the head of this. Brought the palace of the high priest. His name was Caiaphas. We want to remember that. His name is Caiaphas. And consulted, verse 4, that they might take Jesus. They wanted to do it quietly, but they wanted to kill him. They didn't want to speak to him to say, now, you can't, this rhetoric that you keep saying, these lies, these blasphemies that you keep talking about, it's got to stop. No, they were finished with that. These folks, the folks that we've listed here, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, the leaders of the people, they all gathered together, went to the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest. And they all had this conversation. They consulted, the scripture tells us. They consulted. To consult means to deliberate, to advise, to determine what and how we're going to do it. But they came for one single purpose, and that was to put Jesus to death. We have got to take care of this problem, and this problem's name is Jesus. They had a problem. The problem was in verse 5, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Let me help you understand that these religious people had no problem with doing this on a feast day. It was they were concerned about the people. They were concerned about the crowds that had come. The Passover, they'd come from all over the known world and come up into Jerusalem. And they knew that there were many folks that were believers. They knew that there were many folks that were just following after that maybe would join the group and stand against them. So whatever we do here, we're going to have to figure it out, and we're going to have to do it very, very quietly. Do it very quietly because of this feast that's going on. Now, there came unto them, I'm sorry, verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, understand that through the scripture many times things are in chronological order, and sometimes they're not. Now, we're not real sure whether this is something that took place earlier or this is right in line of what's going on. If you look on the map, you'll find that Bethany and Jerusalem are probably less than 4 or 5 miles away from each other. And so it's very, very close. It's not like he's 100 miles away. And so it's possible that this could be taking place right now, or it could be something that's recorded here for our learning that's took place a little earlier, possibly. And so just keep that in mind as we, because it seems that we have went from the Lord Jesus telling his disciples that in 2 days is a Passover, and that will be my death, my crucifixion. And then we come, and the next step is we're gathering the chief priests together here. And then when we get finished with this section, then we go right to Judas Iscariot, that he goes before this council, and they come up with a price that he's willing to sell his soul for. And so it kind of seems like this is almost something that might have happened a little earlier. Not necessary. It could be right here and now. There came a woman, verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For his ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. At the end of this section, down in verse 13, we find that the Lord himself spoke that these words would be recorded all through history. And they're right here. This event that took place. How many times did other things take place in Jesus' life? But this is so precious because we find that the disciples, the 12 that's walking with him and walked with him every day, did not understand that Jesus is about to be crucified, that Jesus is about to be put to death. But I believe Mary did. I believe Mary understood. I don't believe Mary that she was wealthy. I think she was just basically even poor. And she did not have the means to go buy this precious perfumes to anoint the Lord Jesus with these oils. She suffered. She paid the price to go and get this, possibly at a time that she didn't have food to eat. It cost her to purchase this. To the disciples' thought, only to the foolish act of pouring it upon the head of the Lord Jesus. But what did that hymn say that we've just sung? Oh, if I owned all of nature, that would still be just a small gift to give to my Savior. And that's the way Mary looked at it. You see, she desired more to honor her Lord by pouring this ointment across his head than she did. She never gave the thought of the financial burden that it cost or the waste that the disciples felt that it was. She was so honored. And understand, please, that there is never a time that we can give our Lord too much. We can never, ever give our Lord too much for what he has given to us. The indignation there, the word that we read in verse 8, and when the disciples saw what she had done, this alabaster box, it could have been made out of any material. In the definition, it was a vase, but then at the same time it said of any material that would contain this precious ointment. So she gave of her time. She gave of her efforts to receive this for one purpose, that she could honor her Lord. We'll read the rest of these verses here, and then we'll begin right here tonight. For this ointment, verse 9, might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And I believe she understood that. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in all the world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial for her. We have kings that build great monuments. We have memorials built everywhere. We have all these kinds of things. And yet there is not a name among them that has honored in the level that this woman is for what she's done. Look at what the Lord, look at what he made the statement. He said, this book wasn't written then. It wasn't written. He said, but it will be written. And once again, as our Lord speaks, it is done. And so right now today, we are honoring this woman for what she did for her Savior, giving really her all. And we need to learn from her. And I think that's the reason it's recorded, that we too are willing to not look at the world today and its possessions and its things, but what can we do in the name of Jesus, to lift up his name and honor him. What an opportunity that we have. We're going to begin at the 14th verse, one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot tonight. So please, don't miss being here. Don't miss being here. If you're not used to coming we're in Timothy on Sunday night normally, and we're in Proverbs on Wednesday night, but this week we're going to stay right in the Gospels, looking at the steps and everything that's taken place all the way up to the crucifixion and burial of our Lord Jesus. And so please come. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can open up your precious word. And even the disciples, they did not understand what was to come. He just said, the crucifixion is here. They didn't understand. Mary poured this oil upon these precious spices and this perfume upon the Lord Jesus. Very expensive. Upon the head of the Lord Jesus, and they criticized her. They condemned her. Dear Lord, please, as the world would condemn and criticize us for what we give and how we support the work that you have given us, please don't let us deny it, but let us give more. Let us continue to give of our time and of our efforts, of our monies to you to further your precious word throughout this world until the day that you come and take us away. Lord, please, touch every heart this morning. Bring those that are lost to salvation and those that are saved to be awakened to what's important. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.